The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
12 years ago, on the 12th of June 2009, a man calling himself Peter Bergman checked into the Sligo City Hotel. 5 days later, his body was found on Ross's Point Beach by two locals, and then it was discovered that he wasn't Peter Bergman at all, and much mystery still surrounds this man and his death. So who was he? Well, I'm joined on the line by Rosita Boland, a senior features writer with the Irish Times, who's written about this and created a podcast about this remarkable story. Rosita, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, this is an intriguing story because a guy is spotted in Derry taking a bus, arrives in Sligo. He's identified as the same fella, and he checks into a hotel as Peter Bergman, and that's fine. Thank you very much. Pays in cash. But then his behaviour.
So he paid in cash at the Sligo City Hotel on the Friday, the 12th of June. He had been seen, this was all reviewed later via CCTV, so he was first seen in Derry bus station getting on, seen again in Sligo bus station. He took a taxi. He had no advance booking anywhere, so the taxi man brought him to the Sligo City Hotel, and he was in room 705, and, you know, it was summer, so Sligo was busy. But later, After he was found dead on Ross Point Beach, the detectives, when they reviewed the CCTV footage at the hotel, observed that he had gone in and out of the front doors of the hotel, which are obviously the place where there's the most CCTV, no fewer than 13 times, carrying a purple plastic bag. And every time he went out, it was full. And every time he came back, He wasn't carrying anything. So either he had got rid of both the bag and all the possessions, or he still had the bag folded in a pocket. But he made 13 different trips to dispose of what had to have been his belongings. And no member of the public ever saw him disposing of the contents of those bags. There's no evidence that he ever rented a car. He was never seen holding a mobile phone or using a computer in any way. Yeah.
And Rosita, was there much CCTV around Sligo at the time? Because either he was very clever and avoided his movements being detected when he was disposing of the contents of the purple bags, bank CCTV or shopkeeper CCTV, or perhaps in 2009 there wasn't much of it about.
Well, there was quite a bit of CCTV around. So there is some speculation that he perhaps had some training. Perhaps he came from some kind of military background, that he knew exactly how to avoid surveillance. I mean, that's a little far-fetched, but believe me, I worked on this story for 3 months and there is nowhere, no rabbit hole I didn't go down, and there's no sort of theory I didn't think about. But it seemed terribly clear that he wanted to get rid of all the things that he had. So when he arrived in Sligo, he had two bags with him, kind of a hold-all, sort of like a weekend bag, and then a kind of a laptop-type bag, which you sling over with a strap, you sling over your shoulder. Yeah. So on the Saturday, he went around the corner to the main post office in Sligo, and he bought 10 stamps for 82 cents. And at the time in Ireland, it was 55 cents to post a letter in Ireland, and the rate for everywhere else in the world was 82 cents. And unfortunately, there was CCTV in Sligo post office, but when the detectives went to retrieve it later, we see him buying the stamps, but unfortunately, there's no evidence that he ever posted anything,
But Rosita, when his body was found, there was no sign of the stamps in his clothing. So one presumes maybe that he did post something to 13 recipients somewhere in the world.
Well, he bought 10 stamps, but...
Or 10 stamps, yeah.
Well, Again, we don't have any evidence. So again, it's back to speculation. But when he was found on the beach, he was, well, on the, so the Saturday he bought the stamps. On the Sunday, he went to the taxi rank outside Sligo City Hotel and asked, he had a map, and he pointed to Strand Hill and told the taxi man that he wanted to go there because he wanted to find a good place to swim. But the taxi man, being local, knew it wasn't a good swimming beach. So he brought him to Ross Point Beach. He didn't get out. He didn't swim. The taxi driver noticed on the journey that he had a gold tooth. And that's quite a, you know, that's quite a sort of prominent physical characteristic in these days. Then he brought him back to Sligo. And the next day, he checked out of the hotel late at 1 p.m. and he had three bags with him. He had the two bags, the laptop type bag, his weekend hold all, and the purple plastic bag, which was again full. But by the time he got to the station, which is the bus station, which is a short walk from the hotel, when he was caught on CCTV there, he no longer had one of those bags. He just had the laptop type bag and the plastic purple bag. He took the 2:40 bus to Ross Point. And then over the course of the next several hours, he was seen by several people because he was a tall, thin man with glasses. He didn't look as if he was going for a swim. As somebody I interviewed later at the bus station said, he kind of more looked like he was on business, or, you know, he didn't look like a man who was going for a swim. And so the last sighting of him was at 11:50 p.m. on Monday, the 15th of June. And that was half an hour before high tide. And he was found the next morning by father and son quite early, not long after 6 a.m. They were out for a swim. And it was assumed that he had drowned because he was found on the beach. And he was dressed very strangely for a person who was going swimming. He had a pair of swimming trunks on, but over them he had his underpants. And then he had a navy t-shirt tucked into both of them. So, I mean, why on earth would you wear all that if you're going swimming? I mean, why would you put on your underpants over your swimming trunks? And so some of his clothing was later found folded very neatly on rocks, but not all of it. So not all of the clothes that he was seen leaving the hotel wearing were found. His glasses were never found. The bags were never found. And he had some really kind of odd things in his pockets. They were either odd or they were inconsequential, because every detail, I just puzzled over every single detail of the story, and the smallest thing was puzzling.
Yeah. Now, the biggest puzzle, I suppose, is it was presumed by the father and son that this man had drowned, and the police were called and the guard arrives, and the body is covered and eventually it's taken away for an autopsy. But the autopsy does not reveal what it was expected to reveal.
No. So this is the strangest thing of all, to my mind. So it was assumed by everybody the man was found dead on the beach. He was dressed peculiarly, but as if for swimming. But at the autopsy, it was subsequently revealed that he had died of a heart attack, and furthermore, that he was in the stages of advanced prostate cancer. And I talked to the person who did the autopsy, and he told me that he showed me, slides with the blood cells and explained to me that the cancer was so advanced that the man had only weeks left to live. And I asked him, could the man who called himself Peter Bergman have been unaware that he had cancer? And he said he must have been aware, because at that stage he would have been in a lot of pain. So it seems all of the signals seem to point that he came to Sligo to disappear and conceal his identity and get rid of all of his things and to die by drowning. But he didn't die by drowning. He died of a heart attack. And now, there was no toxicology report, so it is possible, but again, this is just mere speculation, that, you know, he chose to take some kind of medication, which I don't know why anyone would would choose to bring on a heart attack. I don't even know if you can do that, but it's just, all of it is just so bizarre, so bizarre.
Now, of course, the identity of the man was presumed to be Peter Bergman, given the name and the address he gave for Vienna, where he allegedly lived. But it became rapidly clear that he wasn't Peter Bergman, or not any Peter Bergman that there were records for.
No. So he had given his name as Peter Bergman with this address in Vienna, and it was subsequently discovered that this address didn't exist. It was just a vacant, a derelict lot. It didn't exist. That a person called Peter Bergman, there was no trace of him ever coming into the country. When he checked in, he was not asked for any ID, and he paid in cash, so he didn't have a credit card. So there was no way to trace that way. He did have what was reported to be a German or an Austrian accent, and I think that we can safely say that he was definitely not from Ireland, or was not living in Ireland, that he had come into the country somewhere, possibly as a foot passenger from Britain, because you don't have to show ID when you're going that way. So the guards looked at all the passenger lists of flights and boats coming into Britain for those days, but they found nothing, because of course we don't know what name he travelled under. He must have had a passport at some point. It was never found. Until he was seen in Derry getting onto the bus, there was no reported sighting of him anywhere in Northern Ireland. I mean, everything about this case is so astonishing.
Because tomorrow, the 16th, would be the 12th anniversary of his discovery on the beach at Ross's Point, presumably drowned, but not in fact, having died of a heart attack. What sort of efforts were made internationally to track him down? I mean, were there pictures of him posted on Austrian or German TV trying to locate this man?
Yes, I mean, at one point there were 10 detectives in Sligo working on the case. They had boxes and boxes of paperwork, and they were extremely helpful to me when I went to make this podcast and do the story. And they circulated his image widely. They did all of those things that, needed to be done. And the thing is that there are very clear images of his face, which were taken in Sligo bus station in particular. He's clearly recognisable. It's not as if we don't have any images of him. And that to me, and that was circulated, that image widely, and all lists of missing people. I mean, they went to exhaustive lengths. So I hoped that, I mean, mine isn't the only story that has, given his case the prominence in the last few years has been, other people who've written and broadcast things as well. But nobody, none of us, have come up with a single shred of evidence as to who he really was. Nobody has come forward. Nobody has apparently missed this man who was thought to be in his 60s and who must have lived a life somewhere. He must have had colleagues, neighbours. He was somebody's son. He had some family. I mean, people just don't vanish out of nowhere. It's just not possible.
It's an extraordinary story and still does not have an ending. You've done a podcast series called Atlantic. Where can people find it?
So it's if you go to the Irish Times website, it's there. It's on all of the usual platforms, and it's a three-part narrative podcast, and there's a lot more detail there. I interviewed many people for this. I worked on it for 3 months, and I'm kind of obsessed with it all over again. So Peter Bergman he's buried in Sligo Cemetery in an unmarked grave, and we can only hope that someday we will know who he was, and there will be a name to put on his grave, whether it's in Ireland or the country that he came from.
Rosita Boland, senior features writer with the Irish Times and author of a very detailed piece on this, but also the author of a three-part podcast, Atlantic. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme.